Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker. Now up on TSN 2, Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We will have Al's brother in here. We have not had him in studio yet. I know he's kicking around. He's waiting. He's going to pounce. He's going to make a pick. And people want to hear the news. They want to hear who he could be betting on tonight that will put him back into the good books, because City of Toronto not happy with Al's brother. That said, it doesn't matter, because even though the Jays lost last night, they came back and they won this afternoon. So they take 2 of 3 against the Rays, which is a big accomplishment. Tampa's probably the best team in the American League, has been the most consistent team in the American League, and has really been an issue for the Jays in the past. Like, they have not historically played Tampa well for a long time, specifically down at the Trop. But nonetheless, you take 2 of 3 against a really quality team, and you continue those positive vibes, and Jays are feeling it right now. So we'll see what Al's brother has in store.
He's got to pick a winner. He has to win something tonight.
I just don't see it happening.
That clip is going to be abused this year.
Forever.
Yeah, that one's going in the Hall of Fame. And now it's being used against him. Like, that hurts. Right? We're trying to pump his tires, and we're saying we think he's got a winner in store tonight, and Mullen's playing that clip on top of it.
I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. That's not good. That's not good when your own words start to turn on you here. But the Jays are off tomorrow, then they've got Minnesota in town on the weekend. So positive vibes for the Jays. Very positive. And potentially positive for Al's brother. And you guys are not on the clock tomorrow night. I'm picking the game Thursday night.
Oh, that's right.
Right. So Al's brother, he's got to worry about the 1 p.m. game and the Sunday nighter this week. As of now, we're playing 3 games on Sundays. That means whoever's not taking the Thursday nighter,
we're not switching to the 5-pack.
Well, I mean, we
all right.
We
let's
can.
Keep it as is. Let's keep it as is. There's
I think we get through another
available.
Week, and then we see where we're at. Yeah, I mean, because you want to play high profile games, right? Like the Thursday nighter,
we'll
the Sunday
it.
Nighter, the Monday nighter makes sense. But yeah,
that's just a chaser. That was a complete chaser idea.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got to figure out something, need more,
got to... You got a bad memory, Beansy.
You got a bad memory, Beansy. You don't want to do that. You keep digging yourself a hole.
I know.
That's when you get yourself in trouble. The survivor picks this week, generally speaking, you know, you continue to hammer home the favorites. I'm thinking Cleveland at home against Houston. They're 12.5-point favorites. And Tampa is at home against Atlanta. They're also 12.5-point favorites. So the question is, do you go back to the well with Green Bay? Are you guaranteeing a win on Monday night against the Lions by the Packers?
I am guaranteeing it.
Okay.
Both of you are. I just think that Rodgers is too good, got too much pride, maybe hearing some whispers. It's a long week, right? Long week to, you know, have to deal with a real off game. That's the only unfortunate part in the in the NFL is, you know, for the most part, unless you play Sunday and then the your short week on the Thursday. But you know, everyone has to dissect everything. And usually that Monday after the first game, it's what? Overreaction Monday, right?
It is.
So
yep.
I feel like he's going to be ready to rock. And Detroit is Detroit.
Yeah, this is the kind of game you probably want. You'd probably prefer, you know, somewhat of a layup. And you know, listen, this is why you play the game. Detroit's going to show up. Jerry Goff will show up. Dan Campbell's going to want to devour some
kneecaps
in Wisconsin. Yeah. But I do think with the opponent being who it is, the platform of the game being Monday night at Lambeau under the lights, this will, I think, tell us a lot about Aaron Rodgers. Last week, you step back and you say, wow, Jameis Winston looked good. The Saints look good. They're well coached. They're a proud franchise. They still have Kamara, a really good run game. They have a really good offensive line. And, you know, they got playmakers on the defensive side. They were a playoff team last year. Yes, Drew Brees is not there. Michael Thomas not here. But New Orleans is still a good team. So you take a step back and you're like, okay, they were awful. Packers were terrible. There's no reasoning with it. But the Saints are pretty good. You lose to Detroit in this game. Then the whole Aaron Rodgers is quit on his team narrative actually gets like a wheel or two in the car.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like then it really – if he looks brutal again Monday night, disinterested, not hitting his mark – then he's really going to have to hear it. Because
you're
New Orleans is
talking
one thing.
Me out of that Green Bay pick in the Survivor pool.
Yeah. Yeah. I you know, it screams big win and big number. Like, it generally speaking, in the past, throughout his career in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers would come back, you know, 380 yards, 23 for 27, yeah. four touchdowns, and you're like, what a performance. This guy
and
is
Hayes,
back in money.
In his prime, which he is in, almost on the back nine of the prime, how many performances have you ever seen like the one he put up against New Orleans?
That's legitimately one of the worst games he's ever played.
Exactly. Yeah, never
absolutely.
Seen that.
No,
Did he own it, though? Like, I saw a little bit of his presser afterwards. He looked pretty somber. But did he come out and just say, I had a bad game, I need to be better?
Yeah, I mean, he's always going to play it like, you know, a fiddle. He's been doing it a long time. He knows how to dance his way out of it. And it happened week one. So he's got 16 more games to redeem himself and make it completely forgettable. You get back on track, you win you get into the playoffs, no one's going to care what happened in week one. But he didn't look good. And it doesn't really matter what he has to say. You know, the Leafs, we just had this conversation an hour ago. Whatever the Leafs say between now and the start of the season is largely irrelevant.
Yeah,
you know, I think it would be easy for them to say, quote unquote, the right things, or, you know, maybe win back some of the people with chewing on it a little bit more and whatever. I don't know if that does anything for you. But ultimately, you just got to go out there and play. You got to go out there and win.
Yep.
And Rodgers is dealing with that now. So, but those are like there last week. It was tough to find a lock survivor pick. Very tough. The biggest favorite of the week, I believe, was Tampa, and they barely beat Dallas. Barely beat them.
Right.
This week there are some bigger favorites. You know, as I said, Cleveland, Tampa, Green Bay, double digit favorites. That's probably where the majority of survivor picks are going to go. But we'll see where that plays out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Where we go.
I think it's a lock for Green Bay. You guys should choose that. I think that's the easy one for me.
Green Bay, Cleveland, lock it.
Yeah, we got burned by them last week.
Yeah. I know. We're already, dude.
Actually, I don't want to be
that's
a soundbite.
That's you, by the way.
I don't want to be a soundbite. Al's brother, I actually feel for him. I know I like to take a few shots at him. Everyone knows I love him, but, like, I feel for him. Like, he's been on such a cooler.
Dude, you should have seen this guy last week.
What?
I text him and I go, idiot, we need picks because I'm getting a little bit antsy about the survivor pool because it's a big deal. And he writes, pardon, you wrote something wrong there. And I go, what are you talking about? And he comes back with, it's coach to you. And I'm just like, what are you talking about?
Coach, how you doing?
Idiot isn't the appropriate title.
No. I wasn't aware that it was a coach scenario from here on in.
I was waiting for you to say to stage, like from one coach to another. Did did I have like coaching traits when I played back in
junior? I taught stage pretty much everything he knows. I took him under my wing. You know, we're the same age. We were teammates for a long time. But I always felt like I need to show him the ropes. And I take, quite frankly, a lot of responsibility for his career. 1,000 games in the NHL. I would never say that outwardly. You know, I'm too humble for that. But I think a large part of his success was the fact that he was a teammate of yours truly, the coach, a player coach, Paul Newman, basically, back in the day for stage and the boys. But, we were on the Packers. We haven't announced that yet, so we're down two ticks. We've only got two left. We had three teams originally. But I wrote you. I said Niners – and Rams, and then I said either Panthers or Packers, and you couldn't choose one apparently, so I had to lock it in. And I was thinking neutral site, Jacksonville, I don't know. It went south quick. So what are you going to do? We still got two alive, and that's all that matters. Al's brother in studio later in the hour. Steve Phillips will join us here in just a moment. Again, the Jays winning this afternoon, 6-3 over Tampa. They take 2 of 3. They're off tomorrow. Minnesota in town for 3 this weekend. Then they head down to Tampa for 3. So you're still going to see the Rays as it currently stands. Bottom of the 6th, Boston tied with Seattle 3-3. And New York is in Baltimore tonight.
Yeah, they're playing the Bad News Bears, unfortunately.
Yeah.
They won last night, right, New York? It's a three-way tie. The Jays have pulled ahead now just because of today's win.
Jays
right?
are a half game up now because
half
of the win.
Half game up.
Yeah. So it was a three-game tie. I expect that this is the way it's going to play out. Right, like, aren't we all bracing for this? It's going to be Toronto, Boston, New York. Maybe one of the two, Seattle or Oakland, get back into it. I don't think both of them will. One of them will fade. One of them will potentially stay with the pack.
Baltimore being the doormat that just gets rinsed by who's ever playing them. They're going to be just automatic win. Like, just chalk it up.
Pretty much has to be, right? Because let me look at the – I know the Jays still play them a bunch, but if you look at it –
They have Boston 6 more times, the Jays 3 more times, and the Yankees 2 more, including today. So Boston's got them 6 times.
Dude, there's 6. They're losing out. It could be.
Like Boston might go 6-0. So then you know you're if you're the Jays, you got to take advantage when you're playing the Twins, who are not as bad as Baltimore, but they're not a great team either. Here is our TSN Blue Jay and MLB analyst Steve Phillips. How much of that do you think is going on in Toronto, New York, and Boston, Steve? Breaking down the schedule and putting W beside one game, L beside the other. How often does that happen in baseball?
Yeah, you know, the teams don't do it, and the front offices don't do it, but fans and talk shows do it. I mean, you look at the Blue Jays, think, all right, 16 games left, 3 against the Rays, 3 against the Yankees, 7 against Minnesota, 3 against Baltimore. And, you know, Minnesota, Baltimore, 2 last-place teams, you got to look at that and think, okay, that's 10 games. If we can go 8-2 in those games, and if you split and you go 3-3 against the Yankees and Rays, then you're looking at you know, you've won, 11 of your last 16 games, and that should be good enough. But, you know, that's a dangerous game to play. And, you know, what managers talk to their players about is let's win this pitch in this inning in this game, and then let's win the next pitch and the next pitch. And so, you know, I think that the Jays have shown that ability. What I liked, what I saw when they went from that Yankee series where they beat up on the Yankees, and then they went to Baltimore, and they took 3 out of 4. And, you know, and look, you take 3 out of 4 against any team in a series, you know, you can't look at it like you failed. And so, you know, they are good teams on any given day. They can win. They can beat you. It's going to be interesting to see the bringer of rain and Donaldson and the 7 games match up there, what that may look like. But, you know, I think for Toronto, they just have to go out and play their game. And it shouldn't matter who they're playing. They just have to go out there and do it. They've been beating up on good teams and bad teams. And I think they have to just keep whatever they're doing now, keep doing that, because that's pretty darn special.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, Robbie Ray does it again today against a potent lineup and a very good team. He goes off for 13 strikeouts and gives up 1 home run, 1 earned run. Doesn't walk anybody again, Steve, which might be more impressive considering his history and his reputation when he got here. Is this guy doesn't walk anyone anymore.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you know, the breakdown on his pitches today, he threw 75 strikes and 101 pitches thrown. So about 75% strikes. That is ridiculous. I mean, an average pitcher might throw 61 to 63% strikes. We're talking about 75% strikes. And he has the conviction now that he can throw it over the plate and get you out. I think he had like 21 swinging strikes in the game, 31 foul balls in the game. And so you get that many swings and misses, you've got exceptional stuff. And I'm going to do a breakdown for SportsCenter tomorrow on some of the adjustments he's made from when he was in Arizona to what they've done, what Pete Walker has done with him now, because it's pretty phenomenal what they've done with him. And you know, sometimes the changes on video can look subtle, but they are all the difference in the world. And when you throw in this many strikes, it means that you're repeating your delivery and that your front foot in the stride to the plate is hitting the same spot and your arm's getting to the same point of release, pitch after pitch, and you know where it's going and you can locate it where you want to. And in the past, that wasn't what he did. He used to rush toward the plate. His landing spot was different all the time. They changed his arm swing, you know, trying to shorten it to make it match because he was rushing toward the plate, and it messed up his release point. And so they've done an exceptional job with his delivery, starting from the bottom half and working up. And then they've fine-tuned the use of his stuff. He'll throw his fastball, that four-seam fastball, up in the zone. You see that a lot. Guys swing and miss at it all the time. And he's got some deception because he rotates more in his delivery, and he'll throw the fastball down and away. And then that slider, he only buries it away from the lefty and down and into the right-hander. It's pretty simple. That's what he does, pitch after pitch. And he sounds like Monica Seles every time he throws the ball, where he sort of grunts when he throws it. Mm-hmm. But it's exceptional what he's doing. And literally the conviction with which he throws it is really – the body language is different. His posture is different. The complexion on his face is different. Everything. because he really does believe in himself right now.
Steve, when I look at Kevin Cash from the Rays, there's just something about that guy where he looks just real deal. I mean, his team always has a good record, but he always looks like he's smarter than everyone else, and he's just an awesome skip. Have you seen anything from Charlie that's impressed you coming down the stretch here? It's been crunch time for a few weeks now, and the team is performing. Is it just the guys going out there and getting the job done? Or does Charlie have any kind of factor that you see as a former GM that's impressed you?
Yeah, managers matter. And, you know, the X's and O's are less the issue than the atmosphere and the environment in which they play. And what we've seen is this team has gotten better over the course of the year. They've overcome some slumps. Like the month of August, the offense took a little bit of a dive, but they've all made adjustments and come out of it. We're talking about 22-year-old kids, 23-year-old kids, putting up monster career seasons this year. And you know what? They love each other. Like, that's the other thing, is this team, the camaraderie of the players and the relationship that they have with each other is real. And, you know, a lot of times when you get a bunch of young stars, they all want attention, everything else. Like, nobody cares. They just go out and play. They celebrate each other. And it's really a dynamic that is so much fun to watch, because they really do like each other, and they show their personalities. And you see them thriving. And he has been able to stabilize a bullpen that had a lot of instability over the course of the year. I don't think Soria, they're getting an answer. I don't think Soria is the guy anymore that I want to go to in a close game. I mean, if you got a 3-run lead, okay, but I don't want to go to him in a close game right now until he shows that he can start to manage some innings without giving up some runs. He's making too many mistakes, but these are things they're figuring out right now as they're primed to get through the end of the season and hope to get to postseason so that they know what their rotation coming out of the bullpen will look like.
With Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst. The Jays winning earlier today, 6-3 over Tampa. They take 2 of 3 in the series off to tomorrow. And they got Minnesota in town over the weekend. And this lineup, you know, you just look at the stats alone, and it screams at you. You know, Springer, Semien, Guerrero, Bichette, Hernandez, Kirk, they all have an OPS above 800. Gurriel, I believe, is at 798. But he's had like a 1040 OPS since August 1st, and he's been one of the hottest hitters in baseball. You're talking 1-7 with an OPS above 800, more or less, the way that they're performing. And I saw something tweeted out earlier. The Jays have the best lineup in baseball in terms of offense. They have a 799 OPS, team OPS, and the youngest lineup, their average age is 26.7 in baseball. So best offense statistically, youngest team statistically. So this is really the tip of the iceberg, or potentially can be, which has to be scary for other teams in the American League.
Oh, for sure. You know, you think about what Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins said that they would do when they came in. They wanted to build a young core of players, that they would be exciting young guys they could build around for the future, everything else. I mean, you can't they've kind of done that, right? This is the young core's there. Their starting pitcher, Hyun-Jin Ryu, is now, you can make an argument, their fourth best starting pitcher. And so, you know, Ray was a great sign and a great development job by their coaching staff. Manoa and what he's emerged as, and the poise and development that he's showing. The trade for Barrios and what he's impacted in the rotation. They've done a heck of a job. And you know, I saw the note that I think everybody in the lineup over the last 3 weeks has an OPS of over 1,000. So effectively what that means is if everybody's got an OPS over 1,000, then the Blue Jays are effectively sending Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for what he's been all year to the plate in every at-bat during the course of the game. That's what that equals. If they're all over 1,000, that means they're all hitting like Vladdy has over the season. That means they've got 7, 8, 9 guys in the lineup that are all Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Think about what that's like to face as a pitcher on the other side.
Can't be fun. No, absolutely cannot be fun. So a great series by the Jays. They take 2 of 3 again off tomorrow, Minnesota in town on the weekend. They're in the driver's seat. We'll see what the Yankees have in store tonight against Baltimore, and Boston currently playing with Seattle. But feels like a 3-team race, 15, 16 games to go. It's going to be a blast, and we'll do it again soon. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure, guys. Good to be with you.
There he is, Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst. Jays taking 2 of 3 from the Rays. pretty quality stuff.
It is.
That's one way of putting it. If everyone stepping up to the plate is not named Vladdy Guerrero Jr., but is performing like Vladdy Guerrero Jr., that's tough to beat that team. Very tough.
Well, right through the lineup. That's
yeah,
the difference.
Loaded.
Like,
loaded.
You know, there's no soft spots. Like,
well, and then on top of it, Robbie Ray's throwing 13 Ks a night, not walking anybody. So even if your pitching staff shows up, like look at last night where the bats went cold, but they lost 2-0. They didn't get blown out 12-0. Like right. There was still a ball game into the 7th, 8th, and 9th. You're like, this could change really quickly.
For sure.
So, you know, the staff, Barrios got injured last night. We'll see what that means and if it's going to be a longer-term thing, shorter-term thing, or nothing at all. But he performed really well, pitched really well last night. Bullpen held up. Soria got hit earlier today, but they had enough of a lead where it didn't have to matter. And right. You take 2 of 3, and it's all good.
AK threw out a prop bet. He's like 7.5 Robbie Ray Ks. I'm like, I'm laying cash on that. And I just couldn't do it.
Over?
I didn't want to Al's brother it, man. I just.
So you didn't do
I,
it.
I was like, this guy's going to blow his knee out or something if I lay money on this. But it was like, he's getting over 7.5 Ks.
Yeah. It's consistent, man. He's doing double-digit strikeouts like every single time he's
on
the mound.
I know.
It's outrageous. Like, he actually looks like Randy Johnson in a way. He's just a lefty.
Just the grappler.
He needs a mustache. That's what
he needs.
He needs
a mustache and about 4 more inches of height.
Yeah, what was like, Randy Johnson? Was he 6'8 or something?
I think he was like 6'10 noodles. Like, could you imagine?
And then
a
the range,
giant.
The arm coming around, like
yeah.
he'd be halfway to the plate with his
he would
release.
Be. And he looked miserable. Like
yeah.
mean.
He looked like he chewed on cigarettes. Like
yeah.
he's like one of those like just grizzled. I saw a special on him once. I think he's a big like metalhead. He plays drums or some big Metallica fan.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. Like I loved the guy back in the day. Like he was one of those guys who like, you know, come after it. I'm coming for you.
Oh, every
you know?
Single day
Animal.
Be challenging you. Yeah, and if yeah. you want to step into the inside of the plate, that's your own business.
Is he the guy too that I think he had his incidents with the media. Was he one
oh,
of
New
the
New York he did. Remember his introduction in New York? He freaked out. So there were paparazzi following him around Manhattan, and he snapped.
Yeah, with his tracksuit
right.
on. He had like a Jordan tracksuit on.
Yeah.
Like, man, don't follow me around.
It's like, we're probably not in your best interest in
yeah.
New York to start with that. But no. And he killed that bird, remember?
Yeah,
when
that bird exploded.
That
which is one of the most traumatic
crazy.
Things you've ever seen.
Dude, it is one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life.
Easily a top 5 crazy sports moment. And it yeah. had to be Johnson, too, right? Like the guy just yeah. throwing smoke.
That's like 105 mile an hour. That bird just disintegrated.
Yeah.
Like just feathers, and that was it. It was
just
done.
Some feathers. Look at, there's Joe from the bridge. How'd he get that
wow,
so
Joe from the bridge.
What a, how? So what, you know, we need to look up. What was the call on that? Like, is it a strike, a ball? Is it just
well,
a
I
replay?
Think that's got to be a replay.
Yeah,
no?
It has to be. It has to be.
Like
but I don't know.
Just
can you imagine he would have how much he would have snapped if it was just logged in as a ball?
Yeah, he would have gone. He would have treated the ump like that bird.
We
yeah,
got to go
exactly.
back and find out though, because it might have been. Who knows?
No,
yeah.
no, you have to have like that's
Dude,
probably
it's human nature, man. It's a bird.
That will never happen again in the history of baseball.
But that's the point. Why would it even be in the rule book? You know,
it's
who's writing
a,
into the rule
yeah.
book if you hit a bird, it counts as a replay of the pitch. There may the rule may just be listen if it doesn't cross the plate for whatever reason it's
right.
a ball.
Grappler just said it was a no pitch.
Yeah, it's a no pitch. There's no way
it has
that,
to be a no pitch. Yeah.
Imagine if he gives the old Leslie Nielsen strike. Looks yeah. up to the crowd like he would have gone nuts. Like
yeah.
I no.
Oh,
way.
He would have taken the strike, Johnson.
Yeah.
But the hitter would have gone crazy.
Exactly.
Robin Ventura would have kicked a guy and ran out to the you know mound
it.
And started a fight.
There was some. Really heated battles back in the day in baseball.
Oh yeah, well, because pitchers would challenge the like. Yeah. It's an unwritten rule. If you're crowding the plate, I'm hitting you.
Yeah, Clemens and
yeah,
you know,
Nolan
Ryan and Nolan
absolutely.
Ryan was a beast. Who did Nolan Ryan beat up?
That was Robin remember. Ventura. Yeah, Ventura was like 20
Knuckle
years
sandwiches.
Younger than him. And just got crushed, headlock, and multiple bombs off the
Noogies.
Top of his dome.
Yeah, I love it. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Just abused his head.
That one
oh, well.
Never really escaped his reputation. There it is. Just bombs off the top of the head.
Well, that Ventura,
thinking that he, because he was legitimately like 20. I think Nolan Ryan was like 43 when that happened. And Ventura probably thought, I'll go out and just beat the hell out of this old
no,
guy.
No, dude, he was 50 years old. He was 50 when that happened.
50?
Nolan Ryan was my age.
Dude,
and
I'm
he was
telling you,
fighting.
Grappler, look it up and call me crazy. I think Nolan Ryan was 50 when that happened.
I don't think he pitched till he was 50. It happened in 93.
Dude, so, he was 50.
Yeah, I'll do the math for you right now. It happened August 4th, 1993. He was born in 47. So right. He was not 50. But he was
46.
He was an older 46. Gentleman.
He was 46 years old.
46, I was so wrong.
Way off.
46 and throwing bombs off some guy's cranium.
That's grizzled.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's your own fault. Don't crowd the plate and don't storm out to the mound. You want to be a hero? I'll lay a beating on you. Very simple. Very, very simple.
Yeah, that stuff just rarely happens in baseball now. Right.
Like no, there aren't a lot of them. The dugout's clear from time to time, but it doesn't really get clear. You don't see bombs thrown anymore.
Yeah.
There he is. Look at Ventura. He's like, I'm just going to come out and just send a message to this old guy and just gets speed bagged.
Yeah.
What? Ryan's not even tired.
not even breathing heavy.
Yeah, he's like, throw the ball back. I'm going to strike out the side, and then I'm going for a dart. At a stake.
Yeah.
He is
it.
Mr. Texas, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
That
old
dude
school.
Loves
old
steak
school.
And beers and
the
whole nine. I saw our friend Haley Salvian, who is Al's brother's nemesis.
Yeah.
She quote tweeted something that Rolling Stone, you know, Rolling Stone always comes out with the 500 list, like the 500 greatest albums of all time, 500 greatest singers, guitarists, the 500 greatest songs of all time. They came out with that list in 2004. Well, I guess they have updated that. And there are two new songs in the top 10. I can't believe these are the two songs from 2004 that made it into the top 10. So I'll tell you which ones they are.
I need to hear them.
You guys are going to be shocked. I got to read the description into why they would be considered top. They're both very good songs. They were hits. But these would not come up, you know, as the ones I would be picking from the past 20 years. So that more coming up. Al's brother in studio with his pick of the night. It's got to be a winner. Got to be a winner before the Thursday night or tomorrow.
Or Miguel comes in.
Or Miguel steps in.
Yeah.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Jerry's After Dark in about 10, 15 minutes. Reference that Rolling Stone has updated their 500 greatest songs of all time list they came out with back in 2004. And the top of the list, I don't believe, has been adjusted. The number one song is Respect by Aretha Franklin. Great track.
Yeah.
Great tune.
So this is all songs. There's no
all songs. Yeah, it's basically pop, though. It's like rock music, pop music. Public Enemies, Fight the Power is number two. Sam Cooke, A Change is Gonna Come is number three. So you're talking older school songs, right? There's Bob Dylan songs. There's Beatles songs. The most modern one was Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Teen Spirit, yeah.
Yeah, that's still number five on the list. So this updated list, the most modern song, which came out in 2001, which I guess would suggest maybe it was still in the top 10 back then. I'd have to go back and look at it. Missy Elliott's Get Your Freak On is number eight. Yeah, so that is the first one that comes up in the 2000s, which, again, may have been there in the 2004 list. But in terms of new songs, it's tough to find one, like post-04. You know, like Hey Ya by Outkast.
Yep.
Beyonce had one at 16, but that came out in 03. So, man, you got to find some newbies, and we'll maybe get into that tomorrow. We'll go over the list and see how the O-Dog feels about some of the music that could be adjusted.
Dude, I just realized that I'm not a Netflix guy, and the one thing I'm not as well, I have no idea what the hell you just said. All of the names, all of the songs, it's just, if you don't say something like Justin B, like, I just have no idea. I'm just not into it. I don't do it. I don't know.
But it speaks to what they think of the music. Like, either it needs more longevity, which is fair, because it needs to be around and be a timeless song. So it'd be interesting to see if 10 years from now, you know, they look at, or they adjust that list because, you know, one of Bieber's songs has been timeless or something like that.
I don't
that.
Know. I don't think that should be a part of the criteria. Timeless. I mean, it's either a great song today, great song 50 years ago, or not. I hear what you're saying. I see at number 20, Robin, Dancing on My Own, came out in 2010. I believe that is the lowest new edition. I don't even know that song. Swedish disco queen Robin. Like, what the hell are we talking about here?
I just, it might speak to a lot of the music that how it's made today. You know, a lot of it is computer generated, all of that type of
true
stuff.
Enough.
Like, you know, like everyone's ultra talented still. It's just, it's a different scenario. I've always been a huge music fan, but I will openly admit I'm not as big into today's hip hop, all of that type of stuff. It's just not my
thing. Doesn't
mean
that's
I don't respect it. It's just not. I'm getting older. That's just not my thing, right?
Exactly.
But, you know, it's a lot of these songs on the list as I go through, you know, you're certainly familiar with them.
Oh, yeah. Like Lord Royals is a great song. Great song by Lord. That came out 10 years ago. It's number 30 on this newly adjusted list. Anyway, we don't have to go through the whole thing, but there's some new blood in there. Maybe we'll do that tonight. Maybe we'll get the O-Dog to go over it, and he can adjust the list as he sees fit.
I'm not doing that.
Al's brother's in studio. We've been waiting on this all day. We talked about him at 4 o'clock, naturally. We had sound bites. We had a montage about him picking the Jays, about him on the Bucks, on the Ravens. It has not been a fun week for Al's brother.
Tough week.
But that's the nature of gambling. He's a smart guy. He's a knowledgeable guy. He is an informed guy. He puts work in, and what goes around comes around. That's the way it works with Al's brother. So, yes, he is the Antarctica of gamblers right now, but at some point he's going to be the equator, the South Florida of gamblers. So maybe that starts tonight. Al's brother, how you feeling about the response? You know, Jay's losing last night.
You're being so adamant
they were going to win.
It's not good, right?
Or no. What my mentions blew up yesterday. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. I'll be honest. It took a chunk out of me. I'll say that. So, yeah.
What type of feedback are we talking? Like, what did you get?
Oh, I should be fired. I'm the kiss of death. I'm the ultra cooler. There was some gifts going on. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't pretty. And, hey, you know what? Maybe that's on me. I kind of shot from the hip there. You were like, pick one. And I was like, I'm going with the Jays. And I just felt really good about it. And I didn't really look into the matchup a little bit. And then, you know, it just kind of unfolded the way that it did. And you know what, though? They came back today and got a nice W. So, you know, the bats only went cool for one night, apparently.
It happened to be the night you were on them. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that always stings. But that is the beauty of redemption. That is the beauty of the sun going down and then coming up again, Al's brother. Is it's a new day.
Exactly.
And it's a new opportunity for you to get back on the winning wagon. So do you have a game in mind tonight?
I do, and I'm sticking away from local sports here. So we're going to go to the West Coast a little bit here.
Right.
And the bet that I'm going to go on here is the Dodgers money line over the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Are you kidding me?
I love the Dodgers tonight. Let me tell you why. The D-backs pitcher, Merrill Kelly, he's making his first start since August 11th. He's been out with COVID, right? So he's coming
back. Why would you go with the guy that had COVID that's making his first start? That does not make sense,
I'm going against him. I'm taking the Dodgers tonight.
He's taking the favorite of all favorites. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, what is the line? Before you continue with the information that is completely irrelevant, because ultimately you're just taking the best team in baseball against maybe the worst, they're minus 345.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of juice you're laying tonight. I guess it doesn't matter in this, you know, for this purpose, because you got to get on the board with a W. But if you lose this game tonight, Al's brother,
I will admit that there might be something fishy going on with me and my picks if I lose tonight. Yeah.
You've seen Miguel around the building, and you know that he might be in tomorrow if you lose this game.
Yeah, he gave me a little weird look earlier when we were passing by and went to go and get a drink, and he was like, if you don't get it tonight, like, you're done, and tomorrow it's on me. And I was like,
he's got a voodoo doll of you. He's actually hoping right now. He's hoping that it goes south for you tonight.
I worry about that, Al's brother, that Miguel could step in. El Hermano Miguel, he may be on
the
clock.
We should have, like, and we can't do it now, but like have him behind the glass and just flash to him. He's just standing there staring at you when you do your picks.
Right. He loves the Diamondbacks like, tonight, too. He loves Arizona.
He's just standing there staring at you, and you know you're one mistake from getting pulled, and he gets put in the game. That's pretty much what it is.
You do realize this is a really ridiculous pick to make, Al's brother. Like, there's no spread. You're taking the Dodgers at home against the Diamondbacks.
Hey.
Desperate times calls for desperate
measures,
that's
a guy that cares about this segment, and he wants to be involved.
Okay.
That's fair.
What I'm really doing here, actually, is I'm testing the waters. Because, legitimately, if the Diamondbacks win tonight and they beat the Dodgers with Urias, who is 17-3 on the year, they've won seven straight games that he's started. He's got like a 1.16 ERA in his last seven starts. This guy is throwing the ball around. You talk about Randy Johnson earlier. This guy's looking like a modern-day Randy Johnson.
Right.
And if he goes out tonight and he has a clunker and he gives up nine runs in six innings, I'm cursed. I'm testing it. I'm testing it tonight.
This is testing the universe and the gambling gods and sports gods. Because just to put this into perspective, okay? Forget the line. Forget the pitching matchup. Forget anything. The Dodgers are 45 and a half games up on Arizona. Let me repeat that. 45 and a half games up on the D-backs.
You know what the scary part is? I have slight doubt in this pick. There is slight doubt in this pick tonight because I just know, like, the universe could definitely just give me a big old slap in the face tonight.
Yeah, because of this, because of what you're doing here. Like, it's not, there's not a lot of etiquette here. It doesn't feel ethical. You know, it's
desperate like, times.
It's desperate times. It's very desperate.
Well, it could be. It's a David Ayers situation. Up. Basically, it's a David Ayers situation, and you hope that it doesn't turn out that way.
Yeah. That's right.
Right?
Yep. That's what's happening tonight. So, all right, Al's brother. You know, do you want to parlay with the Yankees over Baltimore? Maybe that's your play. Then you got a little bit more on the line here. Do you have the stones to parlay it with the Yankees against Baltimore tonight?
I'm not sure how I feel about that pitching matchup.
Okay.
You know, I took a look at it earlier, and I was like, John Means, he had a no-hitter earlier this year with the Baltimore Orioles. He's on the mound. Mm-hmm. What if he goes out there and he no-hits the Yankees again tonight? I don't know if I could take that risk.
Okay. Not willing to parlay
the Yankees.
No,
let's do it. Let's
You're
do
on it?
It? Let's
You're gonna,
do it.
So just to clarify, the new bet is Dodgers-Yankees parlay.
But here's the thing. If the Yankees win tonight, that really does kind of make it tough for the Jays because they're fighting for a playoff spot. So I kind of would want to lose this
bet. All right, we'll leave it with the Dodgers then. Forget it. I don't want to complicate things. I don't want to conflict any of your emotions. Dodgers money line outright win against the D-backs. Diamondbacks hoping to get within 44 and a half games of the Dodgers tonight and maybe get the wheels in motion and they can find a way to, you know, get it within 40. You know,
it's a big one,
plus,
right?
Yeah, we'll see.
Going to next season, this would be a big win.
It would be, absolutely. Well, Al's brother, what are you thinking about the game tomorrow night? I mean, we'll get into it more tomorrow with the picks, and I will be on the clock, so I don't want to, you know, you don't need to persuade me one way or the other, but we've got week two starting tomorrow night, the Washington football team at home. Last time I checked, they were laying 3.5 at home against the Giants.
Yeah, and so, they're what, the road faves, right?
No, they're the home favorites.
Oh, they're
it's
at
in
home
Washington.
Tomorrow.
Yeah,
so,
it's in Washington.
Here's the thing. Washington has an unbelievable defense, and Daniel Jones and that offensive line is garbage, just straight hot trash.
Yep.
But I always get knocked for taking the favorites. So how can I sit there tomorrow and say, go on Washington, and then just not get knocked?
No, exactly. And, again, you don't have to make that call. It'll be on me. Fitzpatrick's not playing either, right?
So yeah, Heineke's
in there. Our boy Heineke, he'll be in there doing his thing, and We'll unveil our picks tomorrow. I will make my pick tomorrow. But as we look ahead to week two in the NFL, the NFL look ahead is brought to you by BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. For me, it's simple. Monday night at Lambeau, I'm going to be doing this courtesy of BookSeats.com. I'm getting on their website. I am going to be locking it in the future. Oh, I hope you can be a part of it, Noodles, Al's
I
brother.
I want to be Mullen, a part of it.
Dude, you know how good. Like, there's all kinds of commercials and stuff, but we couldn't sponsor something more. You've experienced how they work. You wanted to go to a game, and you got dialed in and went to the game.
You lived it. You actually lived it
vicariously through bookseats.com and the whole experience. It was spectacular. It's the best in the business. And that, them getting us to Lambeau for a game would be top-notch, and that would be my pick Monday night, 100%. Under the lights at Lambeau, you can't ask for anything better than that.
Yeah.
Maybe fly into Chicago first. Take a peek in Chicago.
There's a
car.
We could go to
this
Vegas
Sunday
and see how the
that's right.
How we could go visit Mark Davis and his.
I think he'd be very welcoming to us. You know, there's been some positive feedback for that picture that got posted online. The three of
us
and
Mark
Davis.
There's a lot of people thinking
hair.
That I could actually rock it. That's
I had that feeling too. I legitimately sat there and I said, you know what, Jamie don't look that bad actually. That looks like that could be legit.
It actually
outrageous.
It's a backhanded slap across the face because. Yeah. You know, my hair, I'm hanging on by a thread anyways, and all of a sudden you're going to slap that on, and people are like, yeah, I can see that on you. It's actually not a good thing. It's
Noodles, if it ever got to a situation, would you ever, ever consider a toupee?
No. I mean, no. Like, I just have that little hole in the back of my head. Eventually I'm going to have, like, the comb-over or the toilet bowl. What is the, you know, like
I need you with a comb, like a full comb over.
Would you ever be total bald up top and like keep the thick sides?
Like the Bozo the Clown.
Yeah.
I don't know. You'd have to. To me, I think there's guys who are out there that have. Look at that.
Here's the thing, Noodles. Mine and O's, they look really Photoshopped. Yours does look pretty natural.
Mine looks like I actually cut my hair and you guys were like, oh, we'll put a couple of wigs on for the picture.
Oh, my.
Like, it actually does look pretty close.
I kind of like it. I mean, I kind of like it.
Yeah, I think you need a white jacket, a white belt. But outside of that, I think yours looks pretty natural. And
I could see that. The reason, it's just got a tinge of red. Like, if it was dark, if that wig was dark... That's me every day of the week. Like
that's
just a tough hair day. But like both of you look like that's Photoshop. Mine is
looks
believable.
Natural.
Mine's
yeah, yours
believable.
Looks natural.
It's just the red hair.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks
I
like a real picture
it.
Of you and O and I have been like, you know, superimposed into the picture.
Yeah.
All right. So Al's brother's on the Dodgers tonight. And we'll see what comes out of that game. We'll come back and fire up at Jerry's After Dark. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Welcome to Jerry's After Dark, where all of your wildest hot takes come to life. Because Jerry's always in the mood for one more, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, we're very familiar with what you're talking about, Jerry. Jerry's After Dark, which means... Time
one
for
more
one more
horny
hot take.
Jerry's loving the new Jameis Winston. LASIK eye surgery and protecting the football. Jerry once got LASIK as well when he couldn't read the collective bargaining agreement. So Jerry's calling it right here, right now. Jameis throws under 15 interceptions this season.
Wow, that would be cutting it in half. More than that. Last time he was a starter, week in, week out, he threw 30 picks.
Dude, I think it's 75% he does that. I think under this coach and the new eyeballs and the understanding of sitting there watching Drew Brees and how things are done, I think he does it. Even though Mark Schlereth was on our show and described him as throwing picks into the opposition's video room. I think he's going to do it. I think he's learned a lot. I think some humble pie by sitting and watching with the clipboard is going to take him over the top. I really do.
Well, I don't think he's going to be asked to throw the ball nearly as much. I mean, last week he threw 5 touchdowns on 20 throws. I believe it was maybe 23 throws. Like, he's not going to be dropping back and throwing the ball 50 times. So, from that standpoint, with Taysom Hill being what he is, Kamara being what he is, that offensive line being what it is, I'll say 60%.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm saying
which
that.
Which is scary.
I can't believe I'm saying that. 30 picks this guy threw 2 years ago.
Yeah. 30. I don't know. I agree with you. I think it's going to be less. He'll be fine.
Okay.
So, Am I go higher on that?
Yeah,
then?
You're going high then. Yep.
71%, I believe.
How about that? All the boys believe in Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
We all believe in Jameis.
Dude, the talent's undeniable.
Yeah, he's like got the arm. He can play. Yeah. First overall pick. You know, Heisman, the whole nine. So there it is. Jerry's After Dark. We love it. Al's brother is on the Dodgers tonight. He's going out on a limb with the Dodgers against Arizona. It's going to be a fun one, and we are going to be back tomorrow. We look forward to it. So we are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at?
Go D-backs, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.